The special favor of Allah, Holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Holy Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Wassalatu Wassalamu Ala Sayyidil Musaleen, Amma Ba'ad, Fa'audhu Billahi Min Shaitanir Rajeem, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Nabi Allah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ya Nurullah. MashaAllah, viewers of Madani Channel, you're watching Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. Yes, this special series of programs in which we delve into the rich heritage of our past history. Yes, Muslims have a rich heritage. We have a rich history of great pious predecessors, great role models that we can look up to. The problem is we know very little about our pious predecessors. We know very little about the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know very little about the Ahlul Bayt. We know very little about the wives, the mothers of the believers of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, it saddens me to say this, but we know very little about the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. So in this series of programs, we delve into our rich heritage so that we can learn some lessons from the past. And bear in mind that when a narration is presented to you, it has been recorded in the books. And these books that have been passed down through generation to generation, you know, in the case of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if an event took place during his lifetime, it's been recorded for over 1400 years, passed down to generation to generation. And there's a reason for that. Because in that narration that has been passed down, there is a message for us. There's a lesson for us that can be learned. So whenever you hear of something that happened in the past, ask yourself, why has this been passed down through 1400 years? Because we can learn something from it. And today, inshallah, we're going to learn a little bit about the life of one of the great scholars of Islam, the Muftiya of her time, the mother of the believers, the wife of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Aisha Sadiqa, who was also the daughter of the first Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Sadiqa radiallahu anhu. And inshallah, we're going to look at her scholarly aspects of her life today, inshallah. And I'm hoping that for our sisters that are watching Madani Channel, she becomes a role model for her amongst other role models that are available. Before we begin, we're going to give you a blessing of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that recite Durood e Pak wherever you are. Your salawat, your durood reaches me and Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So please send Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with good intention, and inshaAllah azwajal, you'll see the blessings of it not only in this world but also in the hereafter as well. Views of Madani Channel, as I said, we're going to talk about the scholarly grandeur, the excellence of Sayyidina Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha. Now, Aisha is a name that, you know, is very popular. A lot of people give their children this name, but they also need to know that that name has been given from the wife of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mother of the believers, someone who was very scholarly, had a lot of knowledge. And one of the blessings in that is that she spent a lot of time with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she gained that knowledge as well. The nephew of Sayyidina Aisha Sadiqa, the son of her sister, Sayyidina Asma radiallahu anha, Sayyidina Urwa bin Zubair radiallahu anha explains, apart from fiqh and hadith, I've not found anyone else more knowledgeable about Arabian poetry than Sayyidina Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha. She had great expertise in the science of medicine and how to administer cure to patients as well. Concerning the same, Sayyidina Urwa radiallahu anhu, Alama Zurqani rahmatullah stated that once in a state of awe, he radiallahu anhu humbly said to Sayyidina Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anhu, "Oh my beloved mother, you possess the privilege of being the wife of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the daughter of Sayyidina Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Due to this privilege, whatever expertise you have attained in the field of fiqh is not surprising to me. Likewise, it does not surprise me as how and why you have memorized so much Arabian poetry. I know that you are the daughter of the leader of the believers, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Sadiq radiallahu anhu, and he was an expert in the art of poetry. So due to him, you have gained expertise in this art. But what I am surprised about, because she said that He said that because you were with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you gained this knowledge of fiqh. Because you were the daughter of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, you gained the knowledge, the art of Arabian poetry. But he said, but what I am surprised about is how and from where you attained your great amount of knowledge in the science of medicine. Having heard this, Sayyidina Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha lovingly began to pat her nephew's shoulders. And she said, oh Urwa, the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam frequently became unwell in his last blessed days. Arab and non-Arab doctors were prescribed various medicines for him. I would then treat the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with these medicines. By virtue of doing so, I also became expertly proficient and skilled in medical issues. Allahu Akbar. Just the excellent memory and the great insight that Sayyidina Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha possessed. She continued to memorize the medicines which were prescribed to treat the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam until she developed what is known as an expertise in the science of medicine. You know, nowadays we live all our lives. People in our families are prescribed all sorts of medicines. All sorts of medicines are prescribed. You know, and as people get older, they're prescribed more and more and more different medicines. You know, I'll give you a personal, I remember that why my father, when he was aged, up to one point in his life, he was prescribed more than 20 medicines. But if you were to ask me to name any of the medicines, and if you were to ask me, tell me what the medicines were for, other than maybe one or two, I wouldn't have a clue. I could not even remember the names of the medicines. I could not even remember what they were being utilized for. But here we see that Sayyidina Aisha Sadiqa radhiyallahu anha remembered the names of the medicines, remember what these medicines were for, remembered how they were administered and how they were utilized. This is, you know, Allah Azza wa Jalla granted her the ability to achieve all of this. Her undivided attention and excellent memory also has a great role to play. She had this blessed ability to be able to remember things. And she was basically sitting at the fountain of knowledge. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she was with him, and whenever he spoke, she heard. And she had the ability to listen, to learn. But a lot of people nowadays, we listen to things, but do we remember it? No. We hear people talking to us, we hear people saying things to us, but we don't remember anything. We don't remember anything that is said to us. But she had this amazing ability. Not only ability, I think you could say she was blessed, she was fortunate. She was fortunate that she was in the household of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was fortunate, she was blessed that she was married to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was fortunate and she was blessed that she had that status. But she also was gifted by Allah Azza wa Jalla to be able to have this ability to remember. There were many other wives of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were many other companions that got the ability to sit and spend time with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But she had this unique skill. You know, this amazing attribute, this amazing quality that she could remember this information. And for this reason, viewers of Mother Channel, whenever the honorable companions required help in understanding a ruling, or they required further help in regards to the meaning of verses in the Quran, they would ask the mother of the believers, Sayyidina Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha. This was because they knew that she has special closeness to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and was the most competent from amongst all the blessed wives of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in regards to fiqh rulings and understanding the Quran. You know, if you've got a problem, you've got a question, you'll go to someone who you believe has the answer. You're not going to go to someone who you know hasn't got a clue. You're not going to waste your time, obviously. You're not going to ask a child a fiqh question. You're not going to ask them a complicated mathematical question or whatever it is, because you know they won't have the answer. You will go to someone that you know can help you. And so the companions, they all knew that Sayyidina Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha, she had this knowledge. She had great expertise in this field. If they wanted to understand anything in the Quran, they would go to her. If they want to have any fiqh issue, they would go to her. And without any shadow of the doubt, she attained all these blessings and qualities surely, solely due to being in the company of the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's by virtue of this Madani channel, she was granted matchless pearls of knowledge across many subjects and arts. She even possessed a vast knowledge concerning the cause of revelation behind the verses of the Quran, as well as the matters of Hajj, and she would also mention them to the blessed companions in an exceptionally elegant manner. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. from the perspective of knowledge, from amongst all those extremely knowledgeable personalities that we have, at the time Sayyidina Aisha Sadiqa radhiyallahu anha possessed a rank like none other. Her intellectual expertise in various fields of knowledge is still discussed worldwide to this day, as well as her mastery in fiqh concerning matters of halal and haram. With the blessings of the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she became a muftiya, a legal expert who can issue rulings. People today believe that they cannot be a muftiya. She issued legal rulings. She became an alima, a female Islamic scholar. She became a muhaddisa, a specialist in the science of hadith. A mufassira, a commentator of the Quran. These outstanding qualities, viewers upon the channel, of hers are known far and wide. She always kept herself busy in spreading Islamic knowledge, and in essence, she devoted her entire life to serving Islam completely. Allahu Akbar. Viewers upon the channel, our sisters, our daughters, our mothers, if you want a role model, then this is one of your role models. Having the knowledge of the deen, acting upon the knowledge of the deen, passing on that knowledge of the deen, doing the work of the deen all her life. Sayyidina Qasim radiallahu anhu said that the mother of the believers, Sayyidina Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anhu, attained the permanent post of iftah, a position from which Islamic rulings are administered. During her father's time as a khalifa, she would continue issuing Islamic rulings. And during the khilafat of Sayyidina Umar Farooq, then Sayyidina Usman, and after them till her blessed demise. All of this time, during the time of the righteous khalifas, while she was alive, she had this post of iftah which she was issuing the legal rulings. This is her status, this is her standing. And nowadays, when it comes to giving knowledge to our daughters, giving knowledge to our sisters, we hold back. This is not what our deen teaches us. Our deen doesn't teach us to keep our daughters, our sisters illiterate. Our deen doesn't teach us not to give them the knowledge of the deen. Our deen teaches us to do this. We're going to take a small break, inshallah. Now we've got a little package for you, inshallah. And when we come back, we'll continue with the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The blessed wife of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa Tayyiba Tahira radiyallahu ta'ala anha. One day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha, "O Aisha, this is Jibreel alayhi salam. He says salam to you." She is the beloved wife of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Her eminence and her greatness are matchless. Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu states, "If we, the holy companions, had a doubt in a matter, we would ask a question in the court of Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha. So we would get the knowledge of that matter from her only." She had a high status and maqam. She radiyallahu ta'ala anha narrated 2,210 hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyiduna Ata radiyallahu ta'ala anhu state about Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha was the greatest jurisprudent, was the greatest scholar, and the one who had the best opinion amongst all the people. She's a very knowledgeable personality. She radiyallahu ta'ala anha states, "Amongst the bounties of Allah Almighty upon me, one is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away in my house on my day between my neck and chest." Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madhi Channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And in today's program, we again, like in every other program, we're looking to our rich heritage, and today we're looking at the scholarly expertise of Sayyidina Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu ta'ala. And she was the mother of the believers. she was the wife of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was the daughter of the closest friend of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the first amongst the righteous khalifas, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu's daughter. Allahu Akbar. So she was brought up in a very pious household, and then she was married to the pious of pious households, alhamdulillah. She was married to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so she was in an ideal environment to get that knowledge. But if we look today, that we see a lot of people, they are brought up in an environment where they have the opportunity to learn from the skills of their parents. The father might be a mechanic, a plumber, an electrician, or whatever it is, but they don't pick up on them skills. They don't learn them skills. And there's two reasons for that. One is the fact that sometimes the parent doesn't want to pass on them skills to the children. Doesn't give them children or the household them skills to learn them. And at the same time, then people don't want to learn them skills. And so here we see that Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, in the household that she was brought up in, the household of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anha, there, because he was a master of Arabic poetry, she picked that up. And then when she was married in, and she went to the household of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then when she was there, in them years that she was with, before the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam put a curtain between this world and the next, she acquired that knowledge. She just not was his wife, so to speak. She was effectively the best student in the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She had the ability to sit with him, to talk to him, to discuss with him, to learn from him. And she became an expert in every field when it comes to the knowledge of the deen. The commentator of Sahih Bukhari, Alama Badruddin Aini, rahmatullah ta'ala, said that Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala is regarded amongst those companions who possess the most expertise in fiqh, juristic rulings. She is also one of the six blessed companions who have narrated the most blessed hadith. And she has narrated, how many did she narrate? She narrated 2,210 hadiths in total. I'm going to give you now two narrations about Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa's knowledge and scholarly expertise. And from this, we want to draw blessings from them and develop also. I want us all, obviously she is a role model for her sisters, but she's a role model for all of us when it comes to the knowledge of the deen. I'm hoping that we can develop an enthusiasm amongst ourselves towards acquiring Islamic knowledge ourselves. Sayyidina Urwa radiallahu anhu said, in relation to the Holy Quran, matters of inheritance, halal and haram, poetry, Arab proverbs, and knowledge of lineage, I have not seen anyone more knowledgeable than the mother of the believers, Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Abu Salama radiallahu anha explains, I have not seen a greater scholar than Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha in the field of hadith, nor found anyone else more of a jurist than her in any matter in which an opinion is required. He further said, there was none besides her who knew more about the contextual background regarding to the revelation of the Quranic verses, as I mentioned earlier on. She had more knowledge than anybody else, nor was there anyone more proficient than her in the field of inheritance. This again is such a deep and vast topic when it comes to inheritance. I remember speaking to some scholars about the laws of inheritance, and they said, oh, it's a very complicated matter. No. You need to go to the muftis for this. Many of the scholars of today's age do not understand the laws regarding inheritance. And she was a master in this field. Again, you know, we should have that passion inside ourselves that we also need to acquire the knowledge of the deen. Why are we so weak in our knowledge? Why do we not have this knowledge of these things? I remember, maybe we're going to go aside today. My father, when we were brought up, he said that in his village, he said that there was a custom there, that in the village, everybody, before they become, you know, adult, they must take part in performing four ghusls of mayyats. Yeah? And in performing the ghusl of the mayyats, they also had to learn how to dig the grave, how to make the pariyah, and do all the things, and everything, every aspect of it, they were all taught, and the whole village knew that. And I remember last week I was at a mosque when a janazah was taking place, and I remembered that, and I thought to myself that all of these people here, Yeah. In that village, there was a time where everybody would take part in four, at least four. Now I look around me, in the whole of this masjid, there are probably a total of four that have took part in this, that have been part of this, you know, washing the dead body, covering the dead body, you know, having that knowledge at least. How many of us? And that again is a sad state, that knowledge has gone so far away from us that we've lost this incentive to acquire the knowledge of the deen. That we don't have this knowledge. But we see from these great personalities, and we see from the light of these narrations that we just mentioned, it can be easily observed that by the special grace and mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the favour of the final Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we see from this that the mother of the believers, Sayyidina Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha, she acquired high ranks of scholarship, juristic knowledge, expertise in chronic sciences and many other fields of knowledge. And whenever the honourable companions had any difficulty in understanding any Islamic issue, they would frequently visit her in order to quench their thirst for knowledge and have the issues resolved. Sayyidina Abu Musa radiallahu anhu said, whenever we, the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, came across something complicated, we asked Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa about it and we find knowledge regarding it with her. That she had that knowledge. If they were confused, if they were not sure, that was the place to go. That was the place to go. And elaborating on this blessed hadith, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullah said that to this day, Allahu Akbar, to this day, no honorable woman possessing such scholarly rank and juristic expertise has been born that can be compared to the mother of the believers. Sayyidina Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha, she was a compendium of Quran and hadith knowledge, as well as a great muhaddisa, a faqiha, and a female jurist. She was a female jurist, she was a scholar. This was her status, viewers of the channel. And not only our sisters that are out there, we should all aspire. You know, whenever we talk about any of our pious predecessors, we talk about the piety. We talk about the worshipping that they did, that they would stay up all night worshipping Allah. They would stay up all night doing this and do that. But all of them also put a great emphasis on acquiring the knowledge of the deen. When we talk about Sayyidina Ala Hazrat, the knowledge that he had. When we talk about Ghawse Pak, the knowledge that he had. When we talk about all our pious predecessors, that whenever they went to be able to spread the knowledge of the deen, they need themselves to have the knowledge of the deen. They understood the importance of knowledge. They understood that knowledge is a cure for sick souls. They understood that knowledge is a protection from shaitan. And this is why, not only did they acquire knowledge for their own selves, but they willingly went out and spread that knowledge. They willingly were available to spread that knowledge. And even today, I see those scholars that they are happy. You know, a lot of people, when they ring you, you're not happy. Oh, I want some time at home now. I'm at home now. Why are you ringing me? But the scholars, when they are rang, when people ring them and ask them a scholarly question, they are happy. Because now they feel that knowledge that they've got, they don't want to keep it in the chest. They feel that they need to pass this on. And this golden chain of transmission that has happened from the time of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam today, how has this happened? By gaining the knowledge and by passing the knowledge on. Knowledge is like a candle, lighting other candles, so that the knowledge continues. Allahu Akbar. The beautiful knowledge of the deen is spread through generations. And this is what we need to do as well. Shaykhul Hadith Alama Abdul Mustafa Azmi Rahmatullah said that nowadays the passion for acquiring and teaching Islamic knowledge in men and women has almost become non-existent. That is why non-practicing Muslims are seen everywhere. Thousands of young men and women are far away from Islamic principles and are living in disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla. They live their lives without any rules, like animals who wander aimlessly without any control. One of the causes of not practicing Islamic teachings is due to Muslims not learning Islamic knowledge themselves, nor conveying it to their children. It is extremely necessary, he says, for Muslim men and women to take out some time and learn the necessary Islamic knowledge, as well as to teach this to the children. If you cannot make your children Islamic scholars, at least provide them with an amount of Islamic knowledge through which they will remain Muslims as well. The last part, if you cannot make your children Islamic scholars, at least provide them with an amount of Islamic knowledge through which they will remain within the deen of Islam. This is how important that knowledge is. Our scholars are saying to us that if we do not part, not give knowledge to our children to a certain level, then because of that, our children run the risk of losing their deen completely. How many of us, alhamdulillah, those that are attached to the environment of Dawah Islami, I know. But the rest of us, how many of us have Islamic books in our household? And nowadays, knowledge is so easily available. Knowledge is so, you know, I have my iPad here, I've probably got hundreds, maybe even 1,000 books downloaded on here. Not a single one of them cost me any money. Downloaded completely free of charge. I remember once on a program on TV, I read, it was one of the weekly bands that was sent to us. And in it, there was a narration. It was stated that a certain individual traveled from his country to Egypt. He traveled to Egypt, meaning wherever he wasn't in Egypt, and he traveled to Egypt. So he was traveling what would could be classed as a reasonable distance. And the reason why he traveled there was to acquire the knowledge of one hadith, that there was a scholar there that had a hadith, and he went travel, made that journey just to listen to that one hadith. And when he got there and explained to the scholar why, the scholar said to him, fast for a full year, and then I will give you. And after a full year, he made him, I think, fast for 3 months again and do some manual work as well. And only after that did he give him the hadith. And then it was a beautiful hadith. But the fact that that person traveled, not only traveled, but sacrificed time for what? For one hadith, saying of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of that time that he sacrificed to gain that knowledge, where are we today? Where are we today when it comes reading up? And alhamdulillah, like I said, knowledge is so easily available. You don't even have to travel from your sofa to your living room, from your living room to your dining room, your living room to your front yard to acquire knowledge. You can sit with your tongue. Okay, read it. Or even on Madani channel now, alhamdulillah, Madani channel is promoting the knowledge of the deen 24 hours a day. From the comfort of your sofa, from the comfort of your living room, watching, you know, having a cup of tea in your hand, you can sit there and acquire the knowledge of the deen. And these are invaluable opportunities for us to gain the knowledge of the deen. We're going to take a small break now. We're going to go to the kalam of the day, inshallah. And when we come back, we're going to continue with the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Kaaba
چلوں گنبد خضرا دیکھوں مولا یا ربنا ارحم لنا یا ربنا ارحم لنا ارحم لنا مولا یا ربنا ارحم لنا یا ربنا ارحم لنا تیرے گھر کے پھیرے لگاتا رہوں میں سردا شہر مکہ میں آتا رہوں یا ربنا ارحم لنا یا ربنا ارحم لنا الہی میں پھرتا رہوں گرد کعبہ الہی میں پھرتا رہوں گرد کعبہ یوں قسمت کی گردش مٹاتا رہوں میں سردا شہر مکہ میں آتا رہوں یا ربنا ارحم لنا یا ربنا ارحم لنا الہی تو ایسا مقدر عطا کر الہی تو ایسا مقدر عطا کر ہمیشہ ہی طلبہ میں آتا رہوں میں سردا شہر مکہ میں آتا رہوں یا ربنا ارحم لنا یا ربنا ارحم لنا ارحم لنا اپنا حرم دکھا دے دونوں جہاں کے مالک اپنا حرم دکھا دے دونوں جہاں کے مالک قسمت میری جگہ دے دونوں جہاں کے مالک اے میرے مولا 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 اے میرے مولا 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 برسوں سے آرزو ہے طیبہ کی جستجو ہے برسوں سے آرزو ہے طیبہ کی جستجو ہے ایک بار پھر دکھا دے ایک بار پھر دکھا دے دونوں جہاں کے مالک اے میرے مولا 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 اے میرے مولا مولا مولا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. MashaAllah, viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And in this series of programs, we delve into our rich heritage of the past so that we can learn something from yesterday, so that we make a change today, so we can have a better tomorrow. And today we've been talking about the scholarly expertise of Sayyidina Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha. And one thing that we've been emphasizing in the first half of the program is her knowledge. That she was an expert in knowledge. She had this thirst for acquiring the knowledge, and not only she had that thirst for acquiring the knowledge, but she also had the ability to be able to pass on that knowledge in an expertly way as well. And that is something that, you know, we need to also aspire to, because Islamic knowledge, viewers of Mother Channel, is a great thing. Through Islamic knowledge, one gains the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Islamic knowledge improves a person internally and externally, and it also erases ignorance. The companions of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whether they were male or female, they would ask about the commentary of the Holy Quran alongside asking other questions relating to knowledge. As is found on page 615 of the book named Jannat Mein Le Jane Wala Amal, a book published by Maktabat al-Madina, Sayyidina Umaymah radiyallahu said that I asked Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa about these verses, i.e. Part 3 Surah Baqarah, verse 284, the translation from Qanzul Iman is, and whether you disclose what is in your hearts or hide it, Allah will take account of it from you. So He will forgive whoever He wills and punish whoever He wills. And Allah is able to do all things. Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala replied, ever since I asked this question to the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala, so no one has inquired from me about it. The beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala in reply to my question said, O Aisha, it is an agreement of Allah with His bondsman. Whatever fever he has, problems he encounters, or even if a thorn pricks him, even if he does not find his belonging that he had kept in his bag, becomes distressed and later finds it at his side, a true believer will continue to be removed from his sins due to these worries, the way red gold is extracted from a furnace. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Abu Atiyah radiallahu anhu said that Sayyidina Masruq radiallahu anhu and I went to the mother of the believers, Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anhu, and said to her, O mother of the believers, there are two personalities amongst the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first one does iftar in a hurry and hastens to offer salah, and the second one does iftar late and also offers salah late. She radiallahu anhu then asked, who hurries in salah and iftar? We humbly said, Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu anhu. She said, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do so in the same manner. The second person is Sayyidina Abu Musa. Regarding this blessed hadith, the commentator of the book Mishkat, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullah, explains, both of these blessed people, i.e. Sayyidina Abu Atiyah and Sayyidina Masruq, are the great tabi'i. They had a difference of opinion regarding the Maghrib Salah and the Iftar of fasting. They went to Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa to resolve this, and she was a great jurist. The great Mufti has further said, Salah here refers to Maghrib Salah and hurrying refers to very soon after the sunset. He also said that Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa declared that the practice of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Masud was in according to the Sunnah and declared a little delay to be mustahab. It has become obvious that the mother of the believers was fully aware of the nature of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she knew of his blessed actions to a very detailed extent. It is possible that this news reached Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu and must have made a change in his act. It cannot be expected from the blessed companions that after becoming aware of any action of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they would act contrary to it. Allahu Akbar. This again just gives us a highlight. There's a book about Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, published by Maktabat al-Madina. Again, a book that you can download and read. We're just giving you a few tips now, a few things about the knowledge of her life, you know, so that we can understand how important it is to have someone like that as a role model, to aspire to have the knowledge that she had, to aspire to be able to walk in her footsteps, and to understand the importance of knowledge. You know, if you think about it, if it was not for the companions having this knowledge of the deen and just sitting there and following blindly, you know, the actions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or only doing what they were told and not remembering it or not trying to record it or not trying to pass it on, then that chain of knowledge would not have got to us. They knew how important knowledge was, because they knew that not only is that knowledge important for me, but that knowledge that I have today, if I pass it on, it is also important for future generations as well. And that is how important the knowledge of the deen is. Not only will it inshallah protect my iman, but if I use this knowledge to pass it on to others, then inshallah azawajal, it'll protect the iman as well. We're going to go to a little package now inshallah. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the topic of the day. Let's go to this final package inshallah. When we come back, we'll continue the topic of the day. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
My dear Zaman Chan, dua is a great source of attaining lots of blessing in this world and the hereafter. Dua is an extremely easy and a proven source of having munajat, in other words, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and adopting humbleness. Dua is a means of attaining closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, getting wishes fulfilled from His great court, becoming deserving of His grace and favors, becoming deserving of His mercy, of attaining forgiveness and getting the solution of worldly and the hereafter problems and difficulties. The act of making dua is the habit of beloved bondsmen of Allah Azza wa Jal, and it is also a great act of worship. Making dua is a sunnah of the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Dua is a very great blessing and privilege from Allah Azza wa Jal for the sinful bondsmen. Importance and appreciation of dua can be judged by the fact that in the Holy Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal is not only commanding His bondsmen to make dua in His court, but He Azza wa Jal is also blessing them with good news that their duas will be accepted. It is stated in chapter 24, Surah Al-Mu'min, verse number 16. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Translation from Kanzul Iman: and your Rabb has proclaimed, pray to me, I shall answer your prayer. Similarly, in chapter 2, Surah Baqarah, verse number 186, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَلِيمٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. Translation from Kanzul Iman: O dear Rasul Muhammad, when my bondmen question you concerning me, then surely I am close, I answer the prayer of the supplicant when he calls on me. My dear Yusuf Madani Channel, if the blessed days of the blessed life of our beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam are studied closely, then we will learn that the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam used to make different kind of du'as as his routine. This blessed practice of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was also to teach his ummah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, viewers of Mandir Channel, you're watching us today and tomorrow. And in this special series of programs, we look at our rich heritage. And today we're looking at the scholarly status of Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala and the knowledge that she had. And we come to learn from her life how important knowledge is. And she understood the importance of knowledge. And we see from our prior predecessors that they also understood the importance of Islamic knowledge as well. So inshallah, we're going to give you, for the remainder of this program, some Madani pearls with regards to the importance of knowledge, the importance of acquiring the knowledge of the deen. Allah Azza wa Jalla said in the Quran, proclaim, are the knowledgeable and the ignorant equal? It is only the men of intellect who heed advice. The blessed hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are full of virtues of Islamic knowledge. I'm going to give you seven sayings, inshallah. Number one, a scholar is an evidence and proof. Allahu Akbar. Oof. I'm going to start reading that again. A scholar is an evidence and a proof of Allah Azza wa Jal on earth. In another hadith, verily, the examples of the scholars upon the earth is like the stars used to attain guidance amidst the darkness of the universe. When these stars become dim, then it is near that the people who are guided and righteous will fall into misguidance. In another hadith, even a little action with knowledge is beneficial, but a lot of action done with ignorance brings about no benefits. Allahu Akbar. In another hadith, knowledge is the life of Islam and a pillar of the religion. In another hadith, whoever keeps seeking knowledge, Allah Azza wa Jal becomes the guarantor of his livelihood. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So true, without a doubt. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever walks on a path in search of knowledge, Allah Azza wa Jal makes the path to paradise easy for him. Allah, Allah, Allah. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that scholars are inheritors of the prophets. Indeed, the prophets do not make heirs of the wealth, but they make inheritors of knowledge, and anyone who acquires knowledge has taken his share. The death of a scholar is such a tragedy which cannot be compensated, and is such a void which cannot be filled. It is as if he was a star which became dim. The death of a community is nothing compared to the death of a scholar. You remember, I remember reading once that someone came out to the masjid and he said that the inheritance of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being distributed, and people ran into the masjid and they came out and grabbed that person and said, you said inheritance was distributed. And he said, what did you see? He said, we went to the masjid, there was nobody there, but there were some people in the corner. They had a study circle there, they were teaching the Quran. And the person said, that is the inheritance. That is the inheritance of the Prophet of Allah. If you want to get the inheritance of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it's the knowledge of the deen as well. Another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who meets death while seeking knowledge for the revival of Islam, there will be the difference of only one rank between him and the prophets in paradise. Allah, Allah, Allah. And the final hadith that we're going to give to you today, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever leaves his home for acquiring knowledge, he's in the path of Allah until he returns. And regarding this last hadith that I just mentioned, the renowned commentator of the Quran, a great thinker of the Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullah ta'ala said, the person who leaves his home to ask about a ruling or goes to a scholar from his homeland in search of knowledge, he is like the one who is a warrior in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And all of his time and every movement will be worship until he returns like a ghazi. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. This is the Islamic knowledge we have in each other. We need to try and acquire. And this is why Dawah Islam is here. Dawah Islam is here to give you this opportunity. And no matter how much time you have or how little time you have, Dawah Islam can accommodate you. For example, if you want to become a scholar, here in the UK, we have the Jamiatul Madinas, in which the Islamic scholars are being created. A 6-year course for the brothers and a 5-year course for the sisters. And here in the UK, we have 23 different places where these courses are being taught. The future scholars have been created here. The English-speaking scholars have been created here. If you cannot give this, then you can attend the other courses. You can attend the Imamat course, which I think is a 6-month course, but they're even reducing the time on that. There are many other courses which are a 2-day course, a 3-day course, a 1-week course, a 1-month course. The weekly Ijtima, again, another opportunity for you to come once a week just to sit there, listen to the Bayan, acquire the knowledge of the deen. Traveling in the way of Allah for 3 days, 6 days, 9 days, 12 days, 30 days, or even, believe it or not, yes, you may find this hard to believe, but at this very moment in time, in here in the UK, we have brothers that are traveling in the way of Allah for 12 months continuously. 12 months continuously. I had the blessed opportunity to be with some of them brothers last week. They were in Scotland, in Edinburgh. I met them, went and met the brothers. They were traveling in the way of Allah. And I think this is the 9th or the 10th month that they have traveled. Subhanallah. But you don't get anything unless you sacrifice something. If you've achieved anything in this dunya, if you've got that house, you've got that car, you've got that bank balance, did you just wake up one morning and the house was there? No. Did you wake up one morning and your bank balance had money? No, it didn't. You had to struggle, you had to strive, you had to work hard. Either you worked hard manually, physically, or you got an education and you struggled and you studied and you prepared yourself for this part in your life where you have this. It didn't just come to you on, you know, there are some people, yes, I know you may say, oh, well, I got it without doing it. Yes, there are those people. But 99.9% of the people have to work hard to achieve anything in this dunya. And so do you think that knowledge is something that you just, and it comes? No. This takes time, this takes struggle, this takes strive. And we need to be willing to give this time to acquire the knowledge of the deen. As, alhamdulillah, Dawah Islamiyah has provided every facility you can think of. We have the Madrasatul Madinah for the children, where they can go and read the Qaeda and the Nazara and read the Quran with correct pronunciation, where they will learn the Sunnah and the Adab as well. We have Madrasatul Madinah Balagan, which is again a madrasa, but again for the adults. Because a lot of the adults, we forget how to read the Quran. We learned the Quran 20 years ago, 30 years ago, but now we forgot. We forgot how to read it. In the same way, the Madri Kaflas, in which in the Kaflas, you travel in the way of Allah, and you travel from your home to a different, to a masjid. You spend 3 days at least in the house of Allah, reading your salah 5 times a day in the house of Allah with Jamaat. But at the same time, the study circles are there, the lessons have been taught, the du'as have been taught, everything has been taught that you can in that short period of time to be able to acquire you with that knowledge of the deen. As that Mufti Sahib said earlier on, that at least give our children the knowledge that they can protect the iman. Dawah Islam is providing that with you. There are many, many courses that you can. If you say, oh, I'm living in the Outer Hebrides, I'm living in this place, and there's no, you know, Dawah Islam is center near me. Alhamdulillah, Fazan Online Academy is our portal where you can acquire the knowledge of the deen online. Here in the UK, we have the LYF, Learn Your Faith, which again provides the ability to be able to learn how to read the Quran remotely. It provides you with the ability to be able to take courses remotely. wherever you're sitting. And inshallah, in the very near future, Jamiatul Madina online and virtual Jamiatul Madina online will also be provided for our students. And coming back to Jamiatul Madina, I mentioned that it's a 6-year course and a 5-year course. Many of the people that are watching this program now, what is it? We're in June now. You're probably looking towards your end of year exams, maybe as students, maybe thinking, what can I do? Because Jamiatul Madina is currently taking 16 plus is the age of minimum age for the students. If you are 16 plus, you just finished your GCSEs, you don't fancy your A-levels, you're not too sure what you want to do with your future, join Jamiatul Madina. The courses start in September. Here in the UK, we have residential in Bradford, residential in Birmingham, residential in Luton, and in many other places around the country, we have non-residential status as well. For the sisters, again, up and down the country, they are all non-residential, for a 5-year course as well, and the majority of the places, these are all courses that have been taught in the language of English. This is our future. These Jamiatul Madinas are producing the scholars of the future. And I remember we had a meeting the other day with the department, the Jamiatul Madina department, and they have been given a task. Now, this is not a short-term task, it is a long-term task. And the long-term task is to get to a point where inshallah azza wa jal, every year in the UK, Dawat Islami will supply 1,000 scholars into the community. Allahu Akbar. You know, it may seem like a dream, Allahu Akbar. But Dawat Islam has given us the ability to work on these dreams. You know, here in the UK, Jamiatul Madina was a dream for the brothers and the sister that, will we ever open a Jamiatul Madina? Alhamdulillah, now we have 23, 24 branches. Will we ever open a schooling system? Now we have 14 branches. Madrasatul Madina, we have more than 80 branches of Madrasatul Madina. 7,000 children have been taught in these madrasas. Alhamdulillah. This is what's happening. And all of these things that I mentioned there, all of them, and much, much more, is provided for us so that we can acquire the knowledge of the deen. We have the publishing department with the books, the pamphlets, the websites, the social media pages, all of these are there to pass on the knowledge of the deen. We're not here, alhamdulillah, within the UK, Dawat Islami has more than 80 buildings. We're not here to make a property portfolio. We're not here to show my, you know, portfolio that we have these many properties. No. All of these are there to serve the deen, to protect the iman of the future generations. So we should utilize, Dawat Islami is ours, Dawat Islami is yours. Attach yourself to the environment of Dawat Islami. Do that to protect your iman. Do that to protect the iman of your children. Do that to protect the iman of your future generations. Because if we don't, if we think that nothing to worry about, I'm not going to do anything. You know, when you fight any enemy in this dunya, you put up some sort of protection. You know, even when you drive a car, you put a seatbelt on, you do something to protect yourself. That in the case of an accident, what are we doing to protect our iman? What are we doing to protect ourselves from shaitan? Knowledge is the only thing that we can have. And Dawat Islami is there to provide it for you. So if you want to try and follow in the footsteps of our pious predecessors, if you want to learn something from any of the lives of our pious predecessors, any of them, every single one of them will put the emphasis of the knowledge of the deen in their lives. And that is something that we need to put it in our lives, put it in our children's lives, put it in our family lives, put it in our community lives, so that inshallah, not only our iman is saved, but the iman of future generations. Viewers of Mother Channel, you've been watching yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Today we've been talking about the great life, the scholarly life of Sayyidina Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha, the mother of the believers, the wife of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the daughter of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Sadiqa radiallahu anha. And I'm hoping and praying that passion, that yearning to acquire the knowledge of the deen is there inside us somewhere. We need to pull that out, act upon it, and acquire the knowledge of the deen. You've been watching yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Until the next time, keep watching Madri Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah. Is the body and soul.